tuned into the Awakening Zone Radio Network, your news and information source for empowered spiritual awakening.
Hello, this is Karen Elkins, and today our guest is Stephen Lewis. So let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Lewis. He is the developer of the AIM program for energetic balancing and the co-author of Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. He has devoted the last 50 years to helping people unleash their innate potential to heal themselves on every level. And after decades of intensive study and practice in the healing arts, including degrees in chiropractic, acupuncture, homeopathy, oriental medicine and more, and quantum mechanics, he closed his private practice in 1999 to launch MC Squared 2, Energy Matrix Church of Consciousness, and his spiritual holographic self-healing technology that helps nearly 60,000 people worldwide heal energetic causes behind their disease potential 24/7 as they lead their busy lives. So welcome, Steve.
Well, thank you for having me on your program, Karen.
Well, you know what? Steve's work goes back to my own family. When my son needed assistance somewhere around his 14, he was having breathing issues, so I went to my homeopath. And along doing the things that he was doing, he recommended the AIM program, which I have to say worked beautifully. So when I had Judy send me the book and send me this, I said, I've seen that before. Where have I seen that? And I was, I had to reread it. So this is not something that is foreign to me. And it's something that I can say that I'm grateful that you have actually touched my own family and made a difference. So I was anxious to, as I say, reread the book and relook at it. And so with that, what I want to do is take you through today with his book, because the book that Steve and Aaron wrote, Heaven wrote, that was it, guide you through kind of a tour. And I would say that Stephen is a bit of a maverick, and he likes his southwestern desert tours and his own moments of isolation where he can have his revelations. So I think we'll start there, because that's really where the prologue of the book starts. And the book starts with you're going out on a desert, going out to the desert, and you had a vision. So, Stephen, why don't you start with the vision?
Well, I have to confess, I took a lot of liberties in writing the book, but the vision has been, I think, probably a lifelong vision, and it's been unwavering, and it is almost daily, and that's a lot of days because I'm kind of old, but well, yeah, I am. I mean, I'm certainly a I've been a card-carrying geriatric for many, many years. So it's an understanding more and more of not just E equals MC squared, but that energy is everything. When people say, tell me about energy, I like to say, why don't you just ask me, tell me about everything? And then they wouldn't ask that question. It's kind of absurd. But it's the same thing. And it's like the question became, what are these laws that guide our place in the universe? I mean, let's take a fundamental perspective and say, okay, you know, there is, let's not deal with, we're just a drop of sweat, and the animal that's sweating is still there, and we're just tiny. Let's just say, okay, the universe is what it is, and et cetera. What are the laws that control the universe? Not just healing, but healing is simply just a manifestation of living, either healing or becoming ill or whatever. There are laws. What are they? And, I'm very fond of saying, I believe when I get a little bit closer, whenever that is, I'm going to sit up and say, I've got it together, and just transition. Because I don't think I'll ever be done. I don't think there is really an end. Do you think so?
It's like, no, you say it's like peeling off layers. You say it's like the onion. The one thing that really struck with me in the book is we are having, as you say, a scientific revolution. But the scientific revolution is really a revolution. Is it really not a revolution in consciousness? Because a lot of the new science is bringing us to an understanding of our energetic nature. And you know, what you're saying in the book too is we're challenging sort of the Newtonian model Because take it from there, because you've done a lot of study with chiropractor and Eastern medicine. So,
well, yes, we are. We are taking the concept of Newtonian physics and putting it in its perspective, which is to say, it's a very useful, handy tool for many endeavors. Okay. However, it has nothing to do with the creation and the maintenance of the universe and of your universe and my universe. We follow other rules in physics, and those rules happen to be the laws of quantum physics. And it changes absolutely everything. I mean, there are perspectives in physics that just are extraordinary. And that's what we do. I have one here, if I can find
okay.
it. It's in front of me. But, I'll find it shortly.
You know
the
what?
Point is,
Jerry, go back
yeah.
to the way, you know, you had your vision, and your vision kind of explains it beautifully.
Oh, what was my vision? I don't remember.
Remember, you were sitting
You'll
on
have
the rock.
To help me.
Okay, I do, because I just remembered. You were sitting on the rock, and all of a sudden there was an eagle, and then when you woke up.
Oh, yeah, well, that wasn't a vision. That was real. Okay,
it describes in the book as a kind of both. You woke up from the vision, and the eagle was there, and the mountain lion was there, and you knew that at that moment that life was not what your what you thought it was different. And you then began to investigate and to begin to work on your whole process of the AIMS program because you understood the energy.
Well, that's
that
pretty much it, but there's some addenda. You know, I was trying. I understood the fundamental laws in quantum mechanics about how something is a particulate, okay,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time it's wave-like. I understood fundamentally that what makes something change from just being part of the huge overall hologram, the wave, and what makes it freeze in time and become particulate was consciousness. And that was the good news and the bad news. But what fundamentally it meant, you could create your life. The bad news is you can't run to somebody else and say, fix it. No one can fix your life but you.
Right.
And that was fine. But I was not able to figure out how to measure and impact consciousness. And that is what occurred to me sitting by that pool when I was hiking up in Angeles Crest Forest. I was up there hiking, and then I sat around, I was just sitting and thinking about it. And I stopped, and I kind of dozed off. And when I woke up, it was very strange because I felt I wasn't alone there. And I looked across the pool, and there was a mountain lion. And you know what? They're a hell of a lot bigger when they're not in a cage.
No, they are big.
A very different animal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can walk up to a mountain lion in a cage and say, hi, kitty, you know, as long as there are bars separating me from the kitty. But there, it looked totally different. And
oh, yeah, they're big.
Well, it was big, and it didn't look, you know, I've always gotten along very well with animals. Well, I wasn't sure about this one. So we were just there looking at each other. And then there was this rustle overhead, and we looked, and it was a tree right by this, you know, desert pond, if you will. And there was an eagle that landed in the tree. And we both looked up at the eagle looked at us, and the three of us were there. I have no idea how long this triad occurred. I mean, it didn't last weeks and months. It lasted, but was it 1 hour? Was it 15 minutes? Was it 4 hours? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And when the eagle left and then the mountain lion left, I had a vision about how to measure the frequency of energy. or certainly how to get much, much closer to measuring that frequency, the frequency of energy in consciousness. And with that, I was able to help people change their consciousness. When you change your consciousness, you change your manifest particulate life, because life occurs in consciousness, and then afterwards the body just totters along and goes, okay, I have to move, change again. Life does not occur, it doesn't change in your body. It changes first in your consciousness.
So
it makes
question,
you understand the Indian thing about why they say, well, everything that you say is fixed in life is nothing but Maya, it's illusion. Because it really occurs in consciousness. Yeah, what was your question, Karen?
You know, it has to do with then our personality affects our reality.
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question. You know, give me a little bit more.
Okay, let me go back into the way, in essence, the book kind of says it. You know, when people come to you to get assessed in your program, they call you the karma doctor. Why do they call
you? Well, well, very simply, let's say if we look at you and say you have whatever hereditary imbalances you have, when I look at them, I can look and say, and I often do, what was it that created that? I mean, with all the cancer frequencies I've found, every one of them is the result of some kind of bitterness. Now, that's interesting, you know, because, I mean, it's not the event, really, that causes these things. It's not dealing with the implications of the event. And it changes, you know, many perspectives. If something upsets you,
mm-hmm.
and you sob and cry, or you fight, or you do whatever it is that would be something to resolve that which is upsetting you.
Right.
You deal with it, it's done, you move on in life. If it's something you just decide to not face, it's not about how big a deal it is. It can be nothing, but if you make it big, it's something. And if you decide not to face it, well, the first thing to do is hide it from others. That's not that difficult, you know, and we're pretty good at that. But that's not good enough. You've got to hide it from you. Now something has gone from conscious all the way into unconscious. But the problem is it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fundamentally the essence of how karma works. It's still there, and it will manifest one way or another until it is resolved. It's not the event, it's the feeling.
Right.
It's the emotion. And that is the essence of why people called me the karma doctor. Because, what happens is when you can find that hereditary imbalance and you begin to, well, I would like to say help people heal whatever imbalance that is, but in a way it's almost compelling people to heal. What does come out also is the emotion that it was grounded in, that held it in place. And it comes out. And,
for healing.
In the healing process, yes. Whether it's bitterness or whatever it may be, it comes out. So that is why I was called a karma doctor.
No, and I will attest to that because, when I always read books, and I am on the AIMS program at the moment because that was part of the, you know, so that way I can experience what it is that we're in. So there are certain things that you told me that I had, and as I'm going through the process, things are showing up, and they're in my face, so I can't ignore them. So yeah, I actually do appreciate that. So thank you, Steve.
I
do like...
Yes.
Go ahead.
I said it's you, and all I'm doing is forcing you to stay focused on what it is you must resolve. Now, I take the farthest approach. That is the result of this thing being unconscious. Whether the result is cancer, which in your case, as a matter of fact, it wasn't. You're very rare that way. But whether it's, anything, whether it's syphilis or arthritis or anything of that sort, I take the physical imbalance
mm-hmm.
and force that to the surface. And with that, the emotional imbalance, it's bonded. They're together, and they come up together, and you will experience that as they come to the surface, and then they'll be gone. And that is
right.
called healing, by the way. That's very simply, that is healing, as opposed to treating, as opposed to diagnosing and treating. This is healing.
Right.
And you are healing yourself.
Yeah, thank you. And, well, here's the other thing that, you know, when you're talking about all of these things, you're talking about hereditary, you're talking about karma, and then you're also talking about things that are in the air. There's a lot of things that are causing people to be out of integrity with their own self-organizing principle of healing.
Well, yes, there are, but you can't just take all these things and say, there's everything else. I mean, there is, it's kind of like chaos theory. The irony of chaos theory is fundamentally there is no chaos. Chaos is only the illusion of chaos because as your perspective, as your hologram grows, you begin to see the order in things that appear to be random and disordered. So, and I'm sure that's happened to you, it's happened to me, it happens to everybody. I mean, whatever it is that you can speak of now as being what you know, many of these things now, a decade ago, were unknown to you. Your consciousness has expanded, has changed.
True.
And that would even be true just by virtue of you being on the planet now and opting to survive, as opposed to opting to not survive.
Mm-hmm.
And 'cause that is the battle right now, whether anyone knows it or not. I mean, the planet's going to continue. The planet is here. And if it's not here, it's not here. We can't do a damn thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, will we survive on the planet? And that is a big and complex question because, as is true in any discipline, there are rules, there are laws. And it is our nature, we're the species on this planet that violates every rule with alleged impunity. But there's no such thing. The rules are real, and they're there, and it becomes interesting in a morbid way to see what will happen as a result of this. I mean, I'm not sure. It's like this. I think that the trap is we have become so extraordinary at our technology. Technology, by the way, is a tool. It's not consciousness. But with that tool, we become so extraordinary that we are infinitely, infinitely advanced technologically over our position spiritually.
Mm.
Now, that's a problem because, you see, technology has no core value. It's a cannibal. And, very simply, if you're going to dine with cannibals, aren't you curious about the menu? Because you could be it. And that is exactly what is happening right now. And some people seem to see it, and many people have no clue. I mean, but life is changing dramatically. This is a major revolution, and it's in consciousness, because we're not going to be able to continue this way for very long. and the planet will, in its way, whatever way that is, right whatever has been wronged. And that's the way it happens. How does that happen? That's kind of interesting. I don't know. I mean, you know, will it be some kind of war? Well, there is some kind of war. It's another revolution. And like most of them, it seems to be religious or something, which is another way of saying economic. But that's part of it. Disease is definitely part of it. I mean, we are very, very competent nowadays at making disease, manufacturing fine diseases.
Well, it's interesting because when you talk about that, the planet is having its own sense of cancer. I mean, when I put many people on the show, you know, there was one guy I didn't put on the show, but he was in an article in the magazine. He said, I'm a pilot. He goes, I've been flying for years. I fly over the planet, and I see that it's dying. It's like has its cancer. And I had to learn hardware. And he says, you know, that the on the East Coast, things are dying. I talk to my friends in Vancouver. They say the starfish aren't coming. So I sense that what you're saying is not only are we ourselves, our own consciousness needs to evolve to understanding the preciousness of our organism and being whole and being spiritually conscious versus just doing mindlessly and not being aware of, like I love the idea of everything is energy and everything is a frequency. And you know what I love, Steve, about what you're doing is that you can identify these things and heal them, or at least make people conscious of them, bring them to light so that they can alter. And with that conscious evolution, we can, because I think for centuries and lifetimes, there has been no movement. I mean, people got stuck in a particular role, like you talk about these Newtonian things, Newtonian ideas, where I think you think like Einstein, Bohr, and Heisenberg, you know, now got into, you know, going back to everything is subtle energy. So the body is taking in all these subtle energies. We're taking, you know, airborne imbalances. We're taking on our own past life stuff. We're taking on heredities. We're doing all these things and things that are being put in the air for us. So, I mean, you're one of the few programs that are actually one identifying them. Am I correct? And then,
well, you are correct, but it's even more mysterious than that, because the fundamental laws are mm-hmm. not something you can just take and say, here's a law and write it down.
Right.
They're very, very, very subtle, and they're hard to grasp. And there's some things that may be laws that we are incapable of grasping directly. But nonetheless, they may be the dominant principles involving our life or death on the planet. And, you know, for me, it's every time I answer a question, I end up, because of finding out that answer, with four or five more questions. So the more I learn, the less I know, which is a strange phenomenon. And I'm not being modest. I'm telling you, that is literally how I feel, because so many things open up. Well, what makes that happen and why? And, you know, at the same time, this the AIM program, which was, you know, something I created, in its way, it is unnatural. I mean, that is the truth. It's unnatural because it violates, Malthus and the Malthusian doctrine,
Which is what? Explain what that
Well, that's Thomas Malthus was about, that there'd be a big problem of overpopulation if not for the positive checks of disease, war, this, that, et cetera. Which, because we don't live within the confines of saying, we are born, we live a life, and we die, and we accept that, and we live with respect on the planet. We don't. I mean, we turn anything into a bunch of crap. Whatever. I mean, we're here. You just take, southern Canada, for example. If you look at, or northern United States, look where Seattle is, look at, Vancouver. You're looking at this concentration with all its sewage and everything else, but it's hard to realize that these places were inhabited for no doubt many, many thousands of years without a trace of damage or disaster.
Mm.
And something has changed, and we're the change. So if what I do is effective, if it works, it will change that Malthusian doctrine dramatically. And the question is, why will people die? If you have no hereditary diseases left, which you can look forward to in, let's say, roughly a year, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I believe that almost all death is a manifestation of what you brought with you. You bring the template for your demise with you. And that is
right.
called hereditary or karmic, whatever you would like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
If this karma or this hereditary impact is gone, well, then what will do you in? What will be your undoing?
Well,
I can't answer that. It's a question, not an answer.
Well, no, but here's a question, because you and I had a conversation once before, and I thought this was rather profound. What you said was this. You have been working with parents who now have had children who have no miasms or have no dis-ease, and their learning curve and their education, their consciousness is quite much more evolved. And it seems to me that if you had a more evolved and conscious and productive society, they might actually work within the rules and the laws and understand nature and maybe create new paradigms where we could actually flourish.
That is absolutely so. I concur. I agree. Amen, sister. But I think most people are not ready to make that leap. And I think because of that, this is something that's occurred before in our history, but I think it will occur at a much greater, you know, rate and extent than it ever has. That is a thinning out of the herd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. You know, and if that is the case, if, let's just say, a measly, lousy million or so people are not part of that thinning out process or do not go willingly into that good night, that won't change the overall effect. Not when you're speaking about, a world with like over 7 billion. So, you know, what's a 100,000 or a million? Not a big deal.
Well, here's
the thing.
I think
most people most people will not go for that.
Well, let's assume my audience will. And let's say
otherwise, why bother to be on the air? You're right. Okay. Let's assume
that's my audience is willing to go for the ride. And there's an understanding and a principle within what you do, which is valid, because I'm experiencing it myself, and I've had it with my son. So how do those who are wanting and willing transcend? And I think part of it that you're suggesting is we become conscious of what it is, because I like what you say. You say that the human body is a receiver and a processor, both quantum and analog energies, across the entire electromagnetic spectrum. So in some senses, we're like that TV station. We can turn in and tune off and go through and heal spontaneously. So we have the ability to do that, and we do have the ability to make a huge shift. So that's assumed that
we
this audience
have,
wants to do it.
We have whatever tools we need. We have those tools. Will mm-hmm. we use them? Will we use them?
Well, and I think that's assumed that this audience wants to. And so how do I invite this audience to understand how do we get rid of our karmic patterns? How do we get into the new
world?
Well,
very simply,
of the old.
You have to understand, or you do, but one has to understand the essence of the AIM program, and it does not heal you. What it does is compel you to focus on whatever it is you particularly need to heal. And you will keep focusing until there is nothing left, or whatever is left is something unknown to us. And that's a big part of my work, finding, is there something unknown to us? If so, I figure it out, and if I find one in you, it's going to end up being on the AIM program called Karen's disease, or not literally, but it comes down, it comes down to that.
Yeah.
And that
you,
is,
you
well, that's, I'm not, go ahead.
No, you do it in an unusual way, because, I mean, you do it with a photograph.
Well, simply because that's effective. It's
mm-hmm.
I use, it's a holographic technology, and I could do it with drops of blood. They would work perfectly. Or
mm-hmm.
a lock of hair would work perfectly. The problem is not the efficacy of the hair or the blood. The problem is,
right.
how do I tell one from another? How do I, if I look at your photograph, I can go, there's this lady, Karen, and here's me, and we don't look at all alike, and blah, 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 on and on. If I look at a drop of blood from each of us, all I'm going to see is this rust spot. And hair, I mean, is not much different, not much better. But your photograph is you. Now, that brings up something else, because you can look at blood and hair and say, well, there's the DNA. There is certainly no DNA in a photograph. And yet it works every bit as well as blood or hair or whatever. Well, why is that? And the answer is very simply that what makes this happen, what makes this work, is fundamentally your decision to make it work. It is you, your attention, right, makes
right.
it happen. And your picture or your blood or your hair is simply a tool to reach your intention.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, when I describe this, I discussed this with I'm sure you know him, Wayne Dyer. I'm sure you've spoken with Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
He then wrote a book, and he called it The Power of Intention. So I said, Wayne, I called him. I said, you owe me money. You took my time. And so I won't tell you what he said. But Wayne's an extraordinary man. I mean, Wayne is really a priest in our culture. A real
right.
priest. He is a real priest because he speaks about how one can change himself. Now, Wayne is, of course, on the AIM program. So you would have to tell people about the AIM program, and the best way is to let them go and look on the Internet. It's aimprogram.com,
right.
and it's right.
right
there. And take a look and see it, and then if there are any questions, is a toll-free number, which is on there. I can give it to you now, you know, 877-500-3622. And 3622 is EMCC or EMC squared.
Now, here's a question for you.
When yeah.
you did the, when you had the vision, the other part of the vision that came up, because we're talking about kind of the church idea, you came up with the idea that it was a church. That's why you called it that. And the question is, there's a reason you did. Can you explain why?
Because we must differentiate between diagnosing and treating and hopefully curing. These are good things. And healing.
Mm-hmm.
All healing is a spiritual act. And healing is consciousness. Healing is spirituality. And we are helping people in their commission of a spiritual act, that is healing themselves. And there is nothing you can't heal. Nothing. And what only you can heal you. But we can help you. And I think that's an interesting consideration, because just there are so many things that you can do, but you need a little bit of help. Just to get,
right.
you know, let's say I need a little help. You perhaps need a little bit of help. Some people perhaps don't. But for most of us, we need a little bit of help. And I take all the help I can get. I'm not proud. If something I believe will help me, I'm saying, I just simply say thank you. And that's it.
Well, I know I had hosted Michael Beckwith in Vancouver, and my homeopath that had recommended had mentioned that Michael Beckwith was also on the program. And Michael Beckwith made it, like, when I'm driving him in the car, he made an off sort of comment about, well, I'm always protected and I'm always whatever. And I said, is that the AIMS program? He kind of looked at me like, how'd you know? And he goes, yes, that's it. So he goes, I always know I'm protected. And I kind of chuckled to myself. So in his mind, he believes that you have a very powerful, and he feels that you're like his guardian over him. So,
well,
there you go.
You know, it's not a guardian. It's that we're in this together. But all of us are in this together. The distinction is one of consciousness. He and I are aware of being in this together more so than most people are. Or at least we make a lot more noise about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which may be what it comes down to.
His favorite movie is The Matrix, and and when I think of it, you call it the energetic matrix in a way. And it's like the illusion, and it's like, are you going to get out of the dream? And part of it sounds like what you're doing is helping people to come out of their dream a bit. And are you going to make it? Are you going to make it? And you're saying, well, yours is like being on a prayer wheel, is one thing you've mentioned in the book. It's like, you know, you can pray, but we're praying for you 24/7.
Well, it's not even prayer. It is really a method of compelling you to focus on healing.
Right.
You then, with that focus, you will focus on whatever you need to heal, and you will heal it. It comes down to that. And it's not about morality. I don't deal in morality. Or if I do, it's not part of the AIM program. But there's a poem by Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, called Brahma, and the last couplet is, but thou, meek lover of the good, find me and turn thy back on heaven. It's beyond good and evil.
Mm.
There are laws in the universe. And if you are in the degree to which you are in concert with those laws is the degree to which you are protected.
Mm.
This is why once I began to understand that, I understood that there ain't no end to my work.
Right.
Okay. What am I going to do instead?
Well,
you count the waves.
Well, here's the question.
You know.
Are some people have chronic diseases, people that have MS, and I know that these, according to you, and have different, like you say, the liver is anger, and TB is depression, and there's different frequencies for different things. And if we were aware of what those things were, then we could become more conscious and then work through them.
That is correct. However,
okay.
I'm trying not to sneeze, but it's not going to work.
Bless you.
There. If we're aware of what they are, there are so many ways of dealing with the same thing. I can discuss and describe you electromagnetically, and it would be accurate.
Right.
I can describe you chemically, and it would be accurate. And on and on and on. But you can't deal with everything all at once. You must get within that circle somewhere. Now, I very simply use these frequencies of different diseases, understanding that if I find a frequency in consciousness, it does not mean that the person I'm checking has that disease. But it does mean either they have it, or if they don't have it, they're going to have it, unless they heal it. Then what's the difference? It does not matter.
I like what you said in the book. The stuff actually has to show up for healing. So if it's part of your genetics or your hereditary patterns or it's in the ethers, you basically say it has to show up for it to heal. So if you are in sort of a crisis, it's an opportunity for you to look at it. And there's something you say about homeopathics. It's like.
Exactly.
So is that a clue? That's a clue.
It is a kind of a clue. It's because I've used, one of my degrees is in homeopathy.
Right.
And I've used that information. I've used it to a great extent. Because you are using this hair of the dog concept, like cures like. You're
mm-hmm.
using that as a tool to help you heal something. Homeopathy is not about treating and curing. It is about basically nudging, forcing, pushing you to heal whatever you must heal. And so therefore, homeopathy is absolutely energetic.
Right.
Without a doubt. And so that's what like does. It heals like by not healing it as in medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But by healing it in forcing you to keep it in a higher level of consciousness at a level
mm-hmm.
that you can deal with and forcing you to keep it in your consciousness until you have healed it. Now, that higher or lower level of consciousness, that varies from person to person, doesn't it? I mean, there are things that you're conscious of that other people would have no idea. And probably the opposite. There are people who are conscious of things that run right by you and me and, you know, but hopefully that will change for us.
Well, here's the question also. You mentioned in the book that there are some, one of the things that you read in the pictures is a life force. So what is it that you see in life force? And you're finding that a lot of people are, life forces are going down, 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 down.
Oh, yeah, they're plummeting. Let's put it this way. Your life force, where were we here? Okay? Your life force was 0.3. Is that
yeah,
right?
I'm a pretty funky chick. Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, well, that's 0.3 on a scale of 0 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a sobering thought. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, especially when
yeah.
you consider that if, let's say, 20 years ago, I had done this same evaluation, your life force would have been between 95 and 99. And so that's too dramatic a change to just look at casually and say, oh, well, whatever. And that's part of what I was alluding to, speaking about our spirituality fundamentally is not, our technology is not spirituality.
Right.
Our technology is consuming, cannibalistically, our spirituality. And without spirituality, you're not going to be around here very long.
Right.
By spirituality, I don't mean you got to go join a church and tithe. You want to do that? Go ahead. But the point is you must have some spiritual connection to the planet. Whether you, even if you don't acknowledge it, you must have it to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And where were
so
we?
Are you saying that the spiritual part, the 3.0, is the lack of spirituality, or you're also talking about imbalances and what's happening airborne, and you're seeing HIV,
all
I'm kinds of things?
Yeah, I mean your life force plummeted and dropped.
Mm-hmm.
It did so because you had an immune deficiency.
Okay.
And that immune deficiency, as a matter of fact, is not just something. The term natural is kind of misleading. If we, as inhabitants of this planet, manufacture something from stuff on the planet, it becomes part of what our planet is, becomes part of us, and it becomes natural in its way. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So that which we have contributed, that which we have made, that is absolutely destructive of life, is part of nature now. And that
you're talking about the contaminants and the things that, the contaminants that we're putting into to our own environment.
That's correct. They're part of
okay.
life, part of nature.
Okay.
And if we persist, as we persist, we will not survive. Now, when I say we, it doesn't mean everyone will fail to survive. Some will find ways of life where they can be relatively unscathed. But that's going to be relatively few and far between.
Right.
Because
you say holding on to these frequencies is like a form of suppression.
It is exactly a form of suppression. However, that's just one perspective.
Okay.
What it's doing is it's not just suppressing. I mean, it's positive at the same time, you know? I mean, we are supposed to live a given lifespan and that's it. Now, what are the laws? Who created those laws? I don't know. But what are they? Are any of these people, are any of these laws something that we are supposed to overcome? I say, yes, I think that is the case. And as you pointed out earlier, with that overcoming process will come a greater consciousness that will allow us to live in nature without using up and destroying nature.
Right.
I mean, you know, are you back in around Vancouver yet?
No. But okay. I think I'm heading that way back pretty soon.
Okay, fine. How many Indians lived there at a given time without making any impact and having any impact at all on the land? And suddenly, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. And something that we're doing looks as if it's helping us live in a more concentrated fashion, but really, it's I don't think it's a positive thing. I think it's negative, and I think that we must look in terms of what the planet can sustain. We don't do that. I mean, we're not lemmings.
No, we don't.
Lemmings do it. We don't. You know, you're familiar with lemmings?
Mm-mm.
Oh, they're little ferret-like animals in the Scandinavian countries, like along the fjords and all. And when there's too many lemmings, the older ones stand up and say, okay, let's go. And they all go to the edge of a cliff or a fjord, and the older ones just jump off happily or whatever. I don't know what they really feel, but they do it. And the young ones remain behind. Well, that's the way they maintain their population. We don't have that sense of organization. Most we can do is say, sure, it sounds a good idea. Go ahead, I'm right behind you.
Well, you know, when I did the last water issue.
That's not good enough for me.
No, when I did the last water issue, I thought it was really interesting as I was getting a lot of, because our bodies are mostly made of water, and even your homeopathic support done with water, and because they carry a signature in them. But what was interesting to me is somebody had sent in an article, and I was noticing, you know, we were having water shortages everywhere. And what was interesting is just I had to look it up. I thought, the skin, that's the earth is the skin. And what is it that dries out the skin? And what do we have? Like when we go to the pool and there's chlorine and it just dries your skin. It's all these chemicals. And so if we look at everything that we do from washing our dishes to whatever, it's just massive amount of chemicals that we're dumping into the earth, and we wonder why it's drying up. And I thought, my God, it's exactly the same. Amongst
it, it is precisely that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is not technological progress to use something that for a very brief period makes your life a little bit easier, but in the long run destroys the planet in which you live.
Right.
Now, this is a part of the problem of these discussions. We can go almost anywhere here because everything is connected.
Right. No, everything is interconnected.
And it's all relevant, yes.
Right. Now, here's an interesting one for me. Here's a question because I'd never thought about this before. When you're talking about the body and you're talking about the glands and you're talking about the progression of cleansing until you get to the opening of the pineal gland, and since you've been a homeopathy, you've talked about how the body cleanses from one organ to the next until you actually have an opening. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about, but I mean,
I hadn't heard that before, and so that was kind of like that. That was one of the questions I had: if you could explain that progression or progress.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just the problem I have with that is there are a number of apparently valid perspectives for that cleansing, whether it's in acupuncture, whether it's Ayurvedic, whether it's homeopathic. But the question, or whether none of these really matter, but simply once your intention is to clear, to clean, to purify, you will simply do it, and it will all come out. It's like that old, all roads do lead to Mecca, if that's where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you'll never get there. It's really that simple. So,
well, it's like you're talking, the different parts of your body hold different energies as well, right? Like the liver holds anger.
Exactly, but that's my point. It is not nearly that scientifically organized. We are the result of our intention. We may take, I don't know, count many, many, many years to create an imbalance. But once we intend to heal it, we may heal that imbalance. I don't know, days, a week, and it's gone.
Right.
And the homeopathic paradigm is that it's basically takes the time, you know, that it took to develop it, and that it's a balance, and everything is plus and minus, et cetera. Well, you know, I don't find that to be the case. I think that our intention is the most powerful force in our lives. And if our intention is ultimately negative and our intention is ultimately destructive, it will destroy. And it will destroy us along with everything else. And when I say if that is its fundamental intention, on the other hand, if it's fundamentally positive, it will create life. And that's how I see it. Now, I must caution you. Can I prove this? Well, I suppose every day I'm still alive is a little bit more proof, which doesn't mean a hell of a lot now because I'm not abnormally aged. But suppose we speak... let's say 25 years from now, well, I'm well over 100, and I have the same conversation. Your ears will perk up a little bit more. Now, if we make it 50 years from now, I'm 125 years, you'll definitely be listening. And so we are in the process of determining, is this the case? Is this what life is, or is it something else? Ultimately, you know, we can say, well, some things will wear out. I guess, I don't know. You know, when I went to school, we were taught that, you know, the central nervous system, the brain, spinal cord, does not regenerate. And so if you had a disease or some damage to the central nervous system, it was there, it would not regenerate. And then little by little, information came filtering out that that's just not true. People who had strokes, they could no longer speak. And then after a while, they could speak a little bit, then a little more, until they can speak. It's that simple. And then the theory was, other areas of the brain took over that function. Well, whatever. But then it turned out that, no, this, in retrospect, the areas grew back. Well, okay, but they're slow. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Well, who's got a stopwatch? Who's got a clock? I'm not aware of any real limitation. There are limitations I have to work with. I just think that's an extension of my limitation. I have not figured out how to address it properly yet.
Mm.
I don't think, well, I think life is a matter of your intention.
Well, where it kind of comes to me is, like, if the universe in itself is mostly made of water, our body's made of water, you mentioned something in the book that in the 1800s or something, they used to think that it was either ether or water, and maybe those are one and the same, and that's how the energy of electricity travels through the vacuum. And you, as you say in your book, there is really no time and there is no space. And so we are just these malleable constructs of energetic energy that's getting to play out its story. And I think sometimes we get trapped in our bitterness and we get trapped in our stories. And the process is the undoing of the separation between ourselves and spirit, because we're holding on to negative concepts.
Well, we are. I think that's true. But we're holding on not for the sake of holding on of negative concepts, but because we cannot deal with life as it is, or we are not willing to. A friend of mine summed it up by saying that fundamentally, life is a plea for courage. And I, why are you laughing at that?
It feels like it is. It's like it's a journey to take on the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. It takes courage. Otherwise, you'd stay stuck exactly where you're at.
Precisely. Precisely. And, you know, not only do you stay stuck, you almost go backwards because, you know, if something happens and you can't deal with it, you can spend enormous amounts of energy making sure that you don't have to deal with it. It stays in your unconscious. And that's just one thing. What if there's like 1,000 things? And so you are stuck back there. When the second you resolve something, you're not there anymore. You're free to take the next step. And that's,
it reminds me of Joseph Campbell's work. It's the hero's journey.
Everyone speaks about the incredible release and the incredible power of forgiveness. The great power of forgiveness is for you. Once you forgive someone, you don't have to sit back there and resent and have all these negative feelings. You just go, yeah, well, you know, okay, whatever. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting. That's learning from experience. You know, you learn, don't do this or don't do that. You know, a kid learns, don't touch the hot stove, you'll get burned. He does not, you know, spend his life worrying about the hot stove or hating it. But he's learned.
Right.
But he does
it's
not
like
hold
radar
on
going
to
up.
That. And he moves on.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness
mm-hmm.
is for you. Forgetting, you know, hopefully you don't forget anything, because as soon as you forget something, you got to repeat it. So someone goes, oh, now you got it? Okay, yes. So it's interesting. Life is so fascinating.
When you and I were starting the show in the very beginning, before we started the show, we were talking about the difference between male and female and energies. And what I think was interesting is the whole idea of balance between even the exchange of energy within people, and that some people tend to be more vampires and some people tend to be more givers, and then there's all these different dynamics. And if everything is energy, then the whole thing is a play of energetic patterns and how we give in the positive and the negatives of it until we find our way into a state of balance. That's just a thought that came to my mind at the moment.
Well, that's true, but remember something. We don't have the freedom to sit perched above our lives that we're living and direct mm-hmm. those lives. We're busy living those lives. And so we must use some kind of laws in a different manner so that we can live these lives productively and creatively. We don't have the power to sit above it all and pull strings. Now, there are some disciplines that advocate that power. But, you know,
more like the Buddhist one, where nothing is supposed to affect you?
Exactly. I don't find that to be real. I don't find it to be natural, etc. I live my life as, you know, as a process. It's a feeling process.
Mm-hmm.
The important thing is whatever I feel, I must be aware of. I must resolve and act on, and then it's gone. It's done with. It's that simple. Mm. I guess supposedly, right. In a way, that touches on the beyond good and evil concept. What's evil is not dealing with whatever is happening to you.
Is that where we're missing, quote-unquote, the sin is called missing the mark? When we just haven't...
I guess. I don't know. What do you think?
You know what? I think we come down here and we get caught up in some things, and then we get our feelings hurt or something happens, and then we get these imprints that we live out, and if the truth is, they're just all part of the stories, and we get to, if we to find our way back home to that whole loving place, maybe that's the undoing of some of these entanglements that we've had, and to learn to love ourselves, and that we are really the source of the feedback loop. I mean, that's where I'm at the moment. So I'm grateful for any help to make things surface so that I can be more happy.
That sounds complicated to me, Karen. I don't know.
it might be.
I would have a lot of trouble keeping track of that. But, of course, I'm just a simple man. But fundamentally, you know, I forgive. I forgive almost everything. Basically, I try to forgive everything. But I try not to forget anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if I learn in the course of my life, don't go there. Someone's going to beat the hell out of you. I learn, don't go there. It's that
right.
simple. Without holding on to anything else other than learn, don't go there. That's not the right place for you. And and that's it. So
simple.
Well, the object, you know, simplicity is a hopeless task, isn't it? That's the object. What called KISS? Keep it simple, stupid.
Hey, but you've been sitting on those trays for a long time.
and I don't intend to get off those trays, and then hopefully neither will you. But at some point, it really isn't all the, you know, at some point it's only going to matter because of the imbecilic life that we're living right now where people make diseases. I find that to be extraordinary. I mean, just people go and make diseases. They're good at it.
You mean
and
like
these diseases
like
that are made?
Outside forces?
I can tell when there's one. I mean, they have identifying characteristics. That's simple.
But are you talking about the ones that we make by our own consciousness, or ones that are being made that are put in the air? Because I notice there's a distinction in your book.
Oh, I'm talking about ones that are made in a laboratory and put in the air.
Okay, that's what I was. I just wanted to distinguish that.
And you know, and they are a major problem because our bodies have no learning curve to these things,
mm.
and so we don't know which of them we can just get over, or which will be, you know, a kind of last straw. And that's part of what I have to do in my work. And in a way, I resent it because it's so ridiculous. We're all in this together. But I don't know what it's going to take for people. Well, we are. The question is, what does it take for people to see it?
Well, you know what I think? I think people generally are really good people. I think we're expecting our leaders to be noble and to guide us, and it seems to be that it's the contrary at the moment. And
well, that's another issue entirely, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think most people are expecting that when you go to the grocery store, the things that you eat would be good for you instead of all the things that are bad for you. And there's just it's all kind of, to me, a little bit cattywampus. And if we had better stewardship, maybe people could just do their life simply instead of having to be experts in everything, that there's no way that they can be experts in everything these days.
Well, that's so maybe, these days, because we've created this very abstract concept where you mm-hmm. can't live a simple life. And
no, but nobody
can
be an expert in everything either.
Well, right, but for me, I've tried to simplify my life a great deal, and I have, you know, and I do that. I mean, I still drive a car, to be honest, and et cetera, but I've taken myself out of a major city, and
mm-hmm.
I live with people for whom life is a simpler process.
Right. Yep. No, you live in, I know where you live. I'm not going to say, but you do live in a beautiful spot.
All right. And yeah, and I, you know, and I contribute what I have to that process, and they contribute what they have, and we take care of each other, as
right.
it should be.
As it should be, and yeah, and I yeah, and I think part of that is opening up and being able and being part of a community. I think that's a key part. Is communities are key. People around
absolutely
you.
True.
Right.
Absolutely correct.
And all,
yes.
And at all consciousness, and even from what you swim in, from your daily family to whatever you do, is key to your health. I like that one part in the book. It talked about you can get allergies to things.
Yeah.
It creates allergies. The body rejects what is not natural to it, and it creates allergies and antibodies to break it out. And I figured that could be to people or to things that you've just either done enough with. Did I read that right?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, an allergy to something most often is because of hereditary disease.
Okay.
And when you heal the hereditary cause
mm-hmm.
of the allergies usually just disappear.
Okay.
They go away.
What's happening with the peanut allergies? A lot of kids are getting peanut allergies these days. Why is that?
Well, you know what? I haven't dealt with that, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But someone will say to me at some point, my son's become allergic to peanuts. Could you look and see why he has that imbalance?
Okay.
And then I will know. But I don't
you
know
work with
about
a lot of kids.
Peanuts.
Do you
I'm
work
sorry?
With kids with autism? You work with kids with autism, too, don't you?
Are you familiar with our autism program?
I know. I just briefly glanced at it and noticed that you had something for that. Do you want to tell us something about that?
Yeah, sure. Let me tell you what happened. It's kind of interesting.
Okay.
There are people who I feel are kind of spiritual icons in our culture, and they
mm-hmm.
may or may not have a church. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Because you have a church if you are dealing with spiritual items and spirituality. So,
right.
And those people, I've said to many of them, look, you know, if you see someone and you know they need this process, which is really everyone, but that's different, and they can't afford it. It's not expensive, but that's a relative statement also.
Right.
You have the freedom to say, I'm going to give you, let's say, a Wayne Dyer energetic balancing scholarship. That's all. Just, you know, tell me what it is, and it's a done deal. I don't have to okay or approve it. It's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so one time Wayne called me. He said he met this child, a beautiful child. However, she had no affect whatsoever. And she was highly, highly autistic. And he asked me if I had any ideas about that. I said, I have none. I've never thought about it. And so, but I put her on, and I looked to see what imbalances she had that were not in the database. What
mm-hmm.
did she have that was unknown to us? And I found a number of them that all seemed to pertain to that autism, and I put them on the program. I put them in the database that she was on. Well, about 6 months later, we got a call. It was from her mom, and she said, I don't know if you're aware of it, but my daughter is no longer autistic. Our caregivers and physicians, they acknowledge she's just not autistic. I said, well, great. and that was it. But I didn't realize I had hundreds and hundreds of kids on the program who were autistic. I didn't even know it.
Mm.
I had no idea. And suddenly they were all calling. It's almost as if they were in a club and no one told me about the existence of the club. And there they are, all calling me. I went, wow, this
wow.
is far out. And then during that process, I was speaking in Australia, in,
mm-hmm.
I believe it was Melbourne. And it was a question and answer period, and a little girl walked up to the front of the room where I was and said, can I thank you? I said, well, hell yeah. I mean, yeah, anyone can thank me. I kind of like it. But I need to know for I need to know for what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I couldn't have thanked you last year. I was autistic, and now I'm not, so thank you. Well, that shut me up. I mean, I just went, nope, and I couldn't even, could hardly speak. My wife, Eileen, sat there sobbing, and the little girl was beaming.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience was kind of stuck. I went, okay, folks, I just got a message. This is a message. That's how you get them. And I said, if we find anyone with the frequency of autism, the program is free.
Mm.
Well, there are now thousands of kids who are autistic on the program. That's all free. And fortunately, we use, you know, email. Because with snail mail, I'd have to get a bigger office suite just for the letters. Just basically saying thank you.
Wow.
And
is there a characteristic that's identified with that?
A characteristic?
Yeah.
One of the problems with autism is there are about, 20, 25 characteristics. And the
mm-hmm.
more of them that you have, the closer you become to, quote, autistic, unquote.
Okay.
And if you end up with 20 out of the 25, you are very, very, very autistic, et cetera.
How does this relate to some of the people assuming that it has to do with vaccines or it has to do with toxicity of heavy metals?
Oh, well, it does. But part
okay.
of that, that's part of the entire syndrome. But it's not going to happen, or it would be pretty tough for it to happen, if you didn't have the hereditary imbalances that made you vulnerable to these things. The hereditary
okay.
syphilis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know,
okay.
it's like each step brings you closer to something, closer, closer, until you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so just looking at that perspective, once I had them on, okay, now this is gone, now that's gone, now that's gone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The syphilis is gone, everything's gone. Suddenly, they're not autistic, or they're less and less and less, and they're not. And
wow.
That's what's happened. And it'll
well,
continue
beautiful.
Happening. And the same thing
that
has happened with cystic fibrosis.
Mm.
Same thing.
Okay.
I don't know, I forget, that wasn't from Wayne Dyer, it was from someone else, but who cares?
And what about
Once
MS?
It happens, pardon me?
MS.
I have
I hear
it
a lot of-
happening right now. I've been working on MS, and I'm keeping
okay.
track of it. And once I say, I know we can help people heal this with impunity, I'm going to end up making that free.
Okay. Because you hear a lot of people who have it, and it's just so debilitating.
Well, it's more and more, but you see, there's a reason for that. MS is not that uncommon. It's just uncommon unless you're very old. And when you're very old, anything you can have, you do have.
It's when
and
your immune
you
system
die,
goes
so
down.
It doesn't matter. However,
okay.
with an immune deficiency, every hereditary imbalance becomes ragingly active in almost no time. And that's why
is that what,
there's all this MS.
Okay.
That's why there's all this diabetes in kids, because they have the capacity for it. But instead of having it, that capacity reach fruition when they're 75 or 80 or whatever, It's happening now when they're 5 or 10.
Well, isn't that possibly because they're drinking these big sodas that are full with like 16?
They've always done that. I was a kid and drank. Every kid drank soda. You know,
okay.
It's just, I mean, and didn't you as a child?
Not so much so.
Well, your parents probably just didn't allow it.
No.
If your parents didn't pay attention.
And ice cream.
Whatever. that'll do it. But, I think it's about, this is an immune deficiency, and it's fundamentally ubiquitous. As I said back in the beginning, however long ago that was, if I had done an evaluation on you, and say 20 years ago, your life force would have been between 95 and 99. Now, well, I don't know what it is today, but what it was a couple of weeks ago was 0.3.
Yeah, but I'm getting more feisty, so it must be up.
it'll get more and more and more and more and more. Of course it is. You will heal whatever it is you have to heal.
Right.
And that is what's happening. And so I'm in a very interesting position. It's incredibly fascinating because I'm looking to see what will happen now. That's why I said to you, if I tell you, I'm going to live to be 150, you go, yeah. Once I'm 125, I say I'll be 150, you're going to go, okay. You know, it's like I've got a great deal more credibility.
Right.
In short.
You actually do these. You actually test yourself on these because I hear that sometimes you go through your, you know, you find a frequency and you put it in and it's a new, and then you'll go through the cleansing of it as well.
Absolutely, but I can tell when someone's finished detoxing.
Right. Okay.
And when they're not. Most people on AIM have detoxed all their hereditary imbalances. And most of them now are dealing with frequencies that are enhancing.
Mm. Well, you have ones that do wrinkles.
But not everyone
has. You have ones that do attitude. Okay.
Not everyone has detoxed everything. And I think predictably I have it. I think that's part of why I'm in this position. Part of why this was given to me as a gift. I think that I'm part of the problem and part of the solution. And I think above all, I'm very fortunate. My life's work is my passion, and in the process, I help people.
Yeah.
And someone doesn't want to do it, so don't. That's all. No one will ever be, people are not put on the AIM program unless they say that's what they want. Now, obviously, that doesn't apply to infants. You can't ask an infant what do you want. Or a dog or a cat.
I think it
should
be 18 or something, isn't it?
Pardon?
Is it 18 the cutoff? Is 18 the cutoff?
I think it's 18.
Think it's 18. You should make it 19.
And why is that?
Because then I could put my son on it again.
Well, all he's got to do is say he wants to go on.
Oh, I know. But, he's still rebellious against mother's stuff. He's still like the teenager part.
Oh, well, yeah, but that rebellion ends before long.
Oh, good.
Not a big deal, yeah. It doesn't last long.
No, we still have a good relationship, but he's pretty funny. He amuses me. I love my son. He's my best date.
Well, that'll change, too.
So I have a question. We're almost close to the ending time. Is there anything that I didn't ask, that I should have asked, that you would like to tell everybody? That would be great. Because, there was so much to the book. I really enjoyed the book. I enjoyed the adventure. Because it really does start with a lady who has cancer, who's terminal, who has no, and I think she works with you now, doesn't she?
Well, no, she's a composite. Because there were so many of her. That's Jane.
Okay,
and there were
so
many of her. And, of course, I was constrained by confidentiality.
Mm.
And that's why I made it a novel.
Okay.
It's that simple. That's That's a routine situation. There is no problem healing. Almost anything can be healed.
Right.
But only by you. Only you can heal whatever you need to heal. And but most people need some help. Just something to make them focus on it. Some, no doubt, can do it without any help. For me, it would be tough.
But no, because it's hard to focus 24/7, and your thing does help you focus 24/7.
That is absolutely correct.
Right.
That is correct.
And it helps you with your family hereditary issues that you may not be necessarily aware of, which I can call it like family dispositions, and therefore you get you're downloaded into the same sort of frequency patterns that you've had to interact with things to heal.
You know, as they become closer, you become more aware of them, and you realize, for me now, I can tell when I'm on the edge of something that's hereditary, and then I can go and say, okay, what is it, and I find it.
Mm.
But I couldn't do that, let's say, 10 years ago.
Okay. That's what you call peeling off the onion, peeling off the layers.
Yeah, it's called that, although that's kind of interesting also, because when you want to think about it, a real onion, do you know where the most fundamental layer of the onion is?
At the core? Or the outside?
I don't know. On the outside.
Okay.
Onions grow from the inside out. But nonetheless, they call it unpeeling the onion. When you unpeel the onion, it's a different symbolism now, because you get to what is newest and cleanest.
Okay, I got it. So what's relevant also most at the moment is what's on the outer core.
Yes, that is dominant. But it's also the deepest thing. That's why the onion is not an appropriate example of how it works, because the deepest thing is the last thing you reach.
Mm. Mm.
Just
most
a technical
hidden.
Statement. Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Okay. Would that be the most precious? Like the Lord of the Rings would be the most precious.
I don't know either.
Just came to my mind. Well, you know what? Thank you for being on the show. You might want to tell them the website one more time, though it is on the Awakening Zone. You can find it there. You can find all the links to everything. But if you want to give them the website one more time, that would be great.
Yeah, sure. The website is aimprogram.com. And once again, if you have any questions, there's the toll-free number. And that is 877-500-3622.
Beautiful. And with that, we're going to say thank you to the Awakening Zone for allowing Science to Sage magazine to come alive. Steve will be in the next issue of has to do with energy and healing and vibration, and along with a few others like Dr. Joe, who has also been on the show. And I think the Awakening Zone gets funded by people doing their academies and by sponsor readership. So do go online. There are 50 hosts that host shows all around the world. I'm grateful. Thank you so much. And thank you to the Awakening Zone. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Steve.
Bye, dear.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Awakening Zone Radio Network, offering insights and inspiration for our evolving consciousness.